Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning, the message of the title is Break Out. And we're going to be looking into chapter 11 again towards the back end. Last week, I talked about the beginning of chapter 11. And just before we go into that, my wife wanted me to remind myself to mention, over the next couple of weeks, my beautiful wife and I are going to be traveling overseas. We have churches in England that are sister churches, and we're going to be ministering over there. There's a Bible week. My wife can't wait. There's a camp out where they have no air conditioning in the summer in England. She's so excited to go. So we'll be part of a church camp out, and we'll be ministering over there over the next couple of weeks. So please be praying for us. We'll be excited about it. So this morning, break out in chapter 11. And last week's title was, Well Then. And in the beginning of chapter 11, it was a kind of a follow-on. In chapter 10, a man named Paul got saved. And 8, 9, and then chapter 10, Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And it was an amazing story about Cornelius because he was a Roman soldier, and the Jewish people had no grid that anyone outside of the Jewish church was going to get saved, which is funny because Jesus said to the nations, you're going to disciple nations of people. But the Jewish people, all they understood was what they knew, no different than us. And Peter, one of the apostles, had this vision. The sheet came down, to remind us, the sheet came down, there's all these animals in it. Peter's up on a rooftop, hungry for lunch. And in this sheet was a bunch of unclean animals. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, kill and eat, go, do it. And Peter three different times said, I won't, I won't, I won't. Then men came from a soldier, Cornelius, who was sent again by a Holy Spirit, spoke through an angel for Cornelius to send for Peter. Peter went to this man's house, understood, I cannot, he's a Gentile, he's a Roman, he's a soldier, what am I doing? But the Holy Spirit had told him, go in, don't be afraid. And while Peter is preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and all his family. They're born again miraculously. And Peter's like, I can't believe this is happening. What are my friends going to say? What are the brothers going to say? These are Gentiles, they're not even supposed to be in their house. Baptized all of them. An amazing miracle. Chapter 11 started. Now, Peter has to go back to Jerusalem and explain what had happened. And all the brothers are like, Peter, we understand you went into a Gentile's house. We understood something happened. What happened? And so Peter just outlines the beginning of chapter 11. This is what happened. Holy Spirit spoke. Holy Spirit broke out. He fell. People got baptized. People got saved. And it's so interesting, the Jewish people in Jerusalem said, Gentiles, And they said this, well then, okay, all right. We have no grid for what God is doing in that. But all right, we'll just keep moving on. And so it's kind of, the church is evolving and breaking out of just Jewish tradition and the Jewish word. And they think, it can't be. How can Romans, how can soldiers get saved? It's simply impossible. But in the Jewish mind, this guy Cornelius, he was known as a good man. And Cornelius, even when Peter first came to his house, Cornelius' defense was like, even ask all the Jewish people around me. I'm a really good guy. I give gifts to the poor people. The Jewish people respect me in the community. And so the Jews are like, all right, he's a God-fearing man. That makes sense. He's God-fearing. The Lord can override all of that, even though he's not a Jew. There's an exception. It's I before E, except after C. All right. There's always the exception. Then chapter 11 continues on. The Jews are shocked, but at least God will still reach into the good people, the God-fearing people. Then Acts 11 verse 19, we're going to read through verse 26. We're going to take it bit by bit. So the Jews are shocked and amazed at what's happening. It can't be happening, but wow, this is incredible. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you that today, this day, in 2024, you want to break out amongst us. From all of our understandings, Lord, that we would break out of our confined worlds. And Lord, this is the way it is. This is what's going to happen. All these prophecies, it has to happen like what I understand. Holy Spirit, that we would trust you to do what you want to do. I lay down my preconceived ideas of what must happen and how it's going to happen and who you're going to use. And more importantly, who you're not going to use. Because you couldn't use them. You certainly wouldn't use them. Why would you use those people? Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're in charge. And Lord, we say, heaven come. I thank you for the country that we live in. I thank you for the day that you've allowed us to see, to experience. And Father in heaven, we say, heaven come. Holy Spirit, we need you in this country desperately. Come and do what only you can do. We trust you. We believe you can do anything. There's nothing impossible for you. Nothing impossible for you. And I thank you, Lord, you put these things in the Word of God that we don't get trapped in the small confines of our minds. What we're locked into, it has to be this way. Jesus, may it be your way. Holy Spirit, help us. Give us wisdom as we prayed earlier. And everyone said, amen and amen. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19, using the New American Standard Bible, because that's the one Jesus used. Or would. Acts 11, 19. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen, going back to Acts 6, 7, and 8, Stephen, the first martyr. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. Why? Because that's all they knew. So as they go about, they go into Clayton, they go into U City, they go into Kirkwood, Bridgeton, and they're only looking for Jewish people to tell the gospel to. That's all they're doing. Bible says right here, only the Jews. And these people, these missionaries, weren't missionaries as we would see them. Because today, how do missionaries typically exist? You raise funds, you go to Kenya, you go to Mozambique, you have people who fund you. But these weren't your typical missionaries. These missionaries left to save their lives. People were being put in prison, men and women and children. And so these missionaries weren't the missionaries that we think of. These people were escaping persecution in Jerusalem. And they left the confines of Israel. Nobody's raising funds. They're just trying to live life. But these people were madly in love with Jesus. They'd encountered Jesus. And so as they went, they began telling Jewish people that they could find in every community, the Messiah has come. It was exciting. It was fabulous. Normal, everyday, new followers of Jesus. It wasn't like the 18-year-olds that graduate from high school and now they're going to go the Go Project into the world. Go for gospel. These people, basically, in their world, in their mind, the equivalent is they have people leaving St. Louis because of the persecution, and they're going to Miami. Austin. Denver, Nashville. And they're starting their lives totally over again. And they're moving into pagan culture because they're leaving Israel. They're leaving Jerusalem. And they're now amidst ugliness and things that are revolting and things that are appalling to the Jewish people. They're scattered out. Verse 20, chapter 11. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch, which is a city, and began speaking to the Greeks also. What? Preaching the Lord Jesus. And again, we just read it and move on. Of course they were. But they're talking to non-Jewish people. You don't do that. You can't do that. It's only for the Jews. That's all they understood. That's not Jesus' heart, but that's all they knew. They were preaching the Lord Jesus to Greeks. And verse 21, this is so amazing. This is breaking out of their mindset and their culture that they knew. Verse 21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Huge numbers were getting saved in this city called Antioch. Antioch, we don't understand it because it's not like it was today, like it was then. Antioch was a powerful city in the Roman Empire, a city of influence. In fact, it was the third most influential, powerful city in all the Roman world. You had Rome first, you had Alexandria second, and Antioch. Everybody knew about Antioch. It'd be like London and New York and L.A. Everybody heard of it. Everybody knew it. We say Antioch, and we're like, I think I read that in the Bible somewhere. Is that a Turkey? We couldn't even find it on a map, most of us. But to these Jews, it was a huge, influential city, powerful city. It had 500,000 people in it at the time. And it was 300 miles north of Jerusalem. Just think St. Louis to Chicago. This huge, massive, influential city called Antioch. 300 miles. In fact, Buttercup and I, just this week, we jumped in our little red buzz car. It's a Nissan. It's okay. It's older. We drove the 300 miles, and 5.5 hours we're there because Buttercup was with me. You know, some of those trucks, they have what they call the regulator. Is it Gallagher? What do they call those things? Governor. Yeah, governor. Randy's my governor. She acts like she's sleeping. You're speeding. And so it takes us 5.5 hours. But it's 300 miles. I'm sorry, Randy. Very sorry. Not the governor. Small g only. But it's 300 miles away. It's just north. But 300 miles in this day? It's huge. It's all by land, just straight north. But it's a long journey. And it is foreign territory. There's nothing godly about Antioch. There's nothing winsome. There's nothing, oh, hey, let's go. Hey, they got beaches. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. We'll get a little villa by the sun, the sand. It's going to be great. Antioch is not a place you want to go to. In this time, it was known for two different things, Antioch. It was a major commercial commerce place. Very, very business oriented. And Antioch was also known for being incredibly immoral. The religion of the day, they mixed religion with prostitution. And that's what Antioch was known for. Not a nice city, certainly not for a good Jewish boy or girl. It was a rough city. Cities that have a reputation. Just think about now. So what if the Lord called you to go to Las Vegas? Oh, that's Sin City. Oh, not Las Vegas. What is Las Vegas known for? Gambling. Prostitution is legal. Sin City. Think Las Vegas? Yes. We shouldn't go there. We should pray for it. But we don't go there. Or even better, San Francisco. See, you hear that? Moaning. Well, they got the Golden Gate Bridge. It's 35 miles from Silicon Valley. San Francisco. Lord Jesus makes me want to fast and pray just saying the words. San Francisco. Lord Jesus, come soon. Come soon. That's Antioch. That's how it was known. To us, it's the beginning of the alphabet. It's an A word. You know, it's over there. Or you might think Denver. Who wants to go to Denver for a mission trip? It's better than Frisco, better than Vegas. And they got skiing, they got resorts, mountains, altitude. Every city has a reputation, and in this day, we cannot relate fully because we don't understand. Rome was known for political power. Alexandria was known as a place of learning, had the great library. It's known for one of the seven wonders of the world, Alexandria. So you had the most powerful, influential place in the world was Rome, then Alexandria, and number three was Antioch. Great for business, great for sin. Jerusalem, obviously, was known as the religious city. And so these believers had gone to Antioch, of all places. Verse 21, again, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. It's so funny. It says, believed and they turned to the Lord. So I'm like, faith and repentance. They didn't just believe, they also turned to the Lord. And so often we say, well, they just believed in Jesus and carried on. No, these people were changed. Amen. Verse 22. The news about them, the people who got saved in Antioch, the news about them, Vegas, Frisco, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, which was Mecca. It was the place. Jesus, Bible, history, goodness. The news about them reach the ears of the church at Jerusalem. And their response was, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. It reached their ears. It's home base, Jerusalem. The Antioch, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on? Nothing can come from Antioch. What? It can't be. Who are we? We don't want to send a large contingency. It's just messy. Who can we send to Antioch just to check it out and see? This is a crazy talk. Gentiles. Again, we don't think that, but it's Gentiles. They're non-Jews. It can't be happening. Cornelius, we can understand. He's known as a God-fearing man. But Antioch, the pagans, the lasciviousness, it's just base. It's horrible. Nobody should go there. So the leaders of the church said, you know what? Let's send Barnabas. It only says one man. One man, but we're going to send Barnabas. Now, Barnabas shouldn't be new to many of us if we have been in a series for a little while, a few weeks, or if you've been reading your Bible. Barnabas should be a fairly well-known name. But he wasn't one of the disciples. He wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't one of the hot shots. He's just a guy. He's the same amazing man. In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, earlier, it says, now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, this is Barnabas, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. What was this guy about? He was known as a man of encouragement. Why would they pick him? Of all people, a guy who's just, he brings a nice word. Oh, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you too. He's just an encourager. Nope. Barnabas was the only one sent by the church. Acts 9, 26, 27. We covered this also previously. When he, Paul, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he just got saved, Saul had, when he came to Jerusalem, Saul, he was trying to associate with the disciples. But all the disciples, James, John, Peter, all of them, but they were all afraid of this apostle-to-be named Saul. He was putting women and children in prison. Not believing, the disciples did not believe that he was a disciple. Verse 27. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked with them and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas was the man who simply believed in other people, believed the possibility. He was an unusual man. And his primary gift is he was known as the son of encouragement. Let's send this Mr. Brightness, Mr. Positivity. Anybody ever come around the positive people and just think they're annoying? Anybody? Go ahead and raise your hand. Those positive people, they're annoying. Is that you? I see those hands. Yep. Yep. Kathy, thank you. I knew it. Sometimes those pie in the sky, oh, it's going to be good. No, it's not. I won't say Eeyores, but there's a lot of us who just don't think it's going to be so positive. It could rain. I know the sun's out now, but it could rain. Why'd you bring your umbrella? Hello? But this guy is so unusual, so amazing. We're going to send one person. Let's send the person who believes in people. Let's send the one man who thinks God might do something and believe in the people that he's going to go see. Let's send one man, just one. All we need is Barnabas. Verse 23 and 24. Then when he, Barnabas, arrived and witnessed the grace of God, this is in Antioch, then when Barnabas arrived and witnessed the grace of God, Barnabas rejoiced and began to do what? Tell them it's going to get ugly. Hunker down. Tribulation's coming. It could get bad. Store water in your basement. Nope. Mr. Sunshine probably wore yellow like Roberta. Then when Barnabas arrived and observed, he saw, he felt, he experienced the grace of God. I wonder if I can walk into a dark place that's covered with sin, laced with sin, and just see some bright spots. I wonder if I'm more focused on the grace of God or the sin that abounds in an area. That's why Barnabas. Then Barnabas arrived and witnessed the grace of God. And he rejoiced and he began to encourage them. Of course he did. All with resolute heart, steadfast, confident, true blue heart to remain true to the Lord. Verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Why would you want to send a man of faith? Why would you want to send somebody who's got encouragement in his heart? Why would you want to send a good man out? Sounds a little bit like Jesus. What would he do? Encourage them. Testify about God. He did what he was. He did what he was known for. He was true to form. He couldn't help it. He was simply being himself. And as I read stories like this, I wonder, what am I known for? Honestly, what am I known for? Randy, not a speeder. I'm not known for speeding. What do people know me as? What's my normal Wednesday look like? What's my normal Monday morning look like? What does Saturday night look like when the bills have to be paid? When the neighbor's dog is barking again. When that kid that lives next door is firing up his beater car at 11:30 at night or 2:30 in the morning when he's coming home. What do I sound like in my home, in my neighborhood? What do people know me as? Am I the one out talking to my neighbor's teenager? And if I am, what am I known for when I'm talking to that 16-year-old? I know what my neighbors said to me when I was 16 and didn't know Jesus. What am I known for? This man, Barnabas, is known as a son of encouragement. Rome had a reputation. Jerusalem had a reputation. Alexandria had a reputation. Antioch had a reputation. You know what? In our city, Ron Tucker has a reputation. Ron Tucker has a reputation. I became a Christian in 1977. Ron Tucker had a reputation. 2024, Ron Tucker has a reputation, if you don't know who he is. He's a pastor of Grace Church, an amazing church over on the St. Louis side. Ron Tucker has a reputation. Kent Henry has a reputation. Some of the oldie goldies amongst us know who Kent Henry is. He has a reputation. An amazing, anointed worship leader. I don't know how old is Ron. Forgive me, Ron. 70? I don't know. Sorry, Ron. Middle 60s. Kent Henry has a reputation. The lover of Jesus. He has a reputation. Kept for decades. Barnabas has a reputation. John Block has a reputation. Mr. Prayer, is he here? He's probably back praying. There he is. Oh, camel knees. Donnie and Janine, you got a reputation. Met you in the 70s. People of faith, love Jesus, love the word. Steady, faithful, stable. You got a reputation. Chris Browning. Got a reputation. CeCe Browning, so close. Heard that. I told your husband and your son this morning, I was thinking about you yesterday. Randy and I were talking about you yesterday, CeCe. You got a reputation. Creative, life, blessing, bright, positive, faithful, kind. Got a reputation. Your son and your husband benefit from it. You got a reputation. Brent Griffith. I knew you're always sitting over there. Didn't see you, but you're there. You got a seat where you always sit. And you also got a reputation. Faithful man. Invests and believes in men. And we have people in our midst, people that we know about. They have a reputation. I wonder what mine is. I wonder what yours is. Barnabas had a reputation. Had nothing to do with education. He was simply a good man. Wouldn't you love for the Bible to say about you, you're a good woman, you're a good man? This was heaven's perspective on Barnabas. When heaven says you're a good person, you can bank on it. That's what the Bible says. He wasn't known for a PhD. He wasn't known for his teaching. He wasn't known for his money and his giving. What he gave out was life. He gave out encouragement. He gave out faith. He gave out positivity. God's with you. He's a good man. He's got good character. He encourages people, which basically means he puts courage into people. I bet if somebody spilled his coffee, he'd be the first one to help clean up. Isn't that right, Angie? Reputations are typically what people observe about us, what they hear about us, what they experience about us. Barnabas is known for believing in people. So that's the guy we want to send into a dodgy city, into an ugly city, into a challenge city, into a challenge situation. Gentiles for Jesus, that was not a bumper sticker. Had not been printed yet. It was not hot on the press. Gentiles for Jesus, no. It'd be like a Jewish person saying, hey, let's have pork chops for dinner Sunday. Not going to happen. But if something weird's happening, let's send the man of encouragement into the situation and see if he can see what's real and what's not real. He's not just Mr. Positivity where you can pull the wool over his eyes. This man is a godly man. What I love about this, let's read on just a little bit. Verse 25. And verse 24, let's go back and finish. Can we do verse 24 again just for continuity? 23 and 24. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Verse 25. So what did he do then? And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. What did this guy do? He's in a brand new situation. He walks in and he realizes God is amazing. The Gentiles are getting saved. Wow! It's impossible. And what I love about Barnabas is this. He doesn't think, finally, my ministry. Finally, my church. Antioch. You're Gentiles. You got to start somewhere, though. Humble beginnings. But I'm a positive person. Why not? The first thing he does, encourages them. What's the next thing he does? He recognizes, I can't do it myself. I can't do it. I'm just a man here. And yes, I know all about God. Yes, I know the Bible. But I can't do it by myself. So the first thing he does after encouraging everybody, he says, I need help. I'm going to go get somebody else, because he understood the power of team, the power of people working together, people with different giftings. I've had multiple people mention to me, ask me and my pretty wife, why do you have other people speaking in the church here? Why do you share your pulpit so much? I've had multiple people ask me that. I've had other people say, when are you going to speak again? Are you a guest? And I understand the laugh. It's a subtle little dig, but it's a laugh. It's okay. You know why? Because in this church, we're all about team. All about team. I can't do it alone. And if we do, it's going to be a disaster. Barnabas understood the power of team. No one person or two or three people are going to be enough to do what God wants to do. It's called community. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called making room for other people. It's one of the values that we have here at Life Church. When we began almost 11 years ago, it was all about reaching people who were broken and desperate and in a desert and bringing courage to them. It's all about empowering people. Like we had this morning, and I just told somebody this morning, it was Kayla. When this church started almost 11 years ago, we had the word first. We preached first, and then we had the worship in response to that. Well, that's weird. Well, because most pastors think the word's the most important thing, which means them. We're going to soften the people's hearts so they can listen to me. And I was sure, I think the word should prepare me to respond to Jesus. The word softens me. And I see the power of God. And oh my gosh, what a reverential awe I have in Jesus. In this church, we value presence and the word of God. We value empowering people. There's only one star in the room, and his name is Jesus. And I trust that when Randy and I are dead and gone, or just gone, the DNA of this church will still be, there's one star in this church, and his name is Jesus. And whoever and whatever we build here will be about a team of people with very, very different giftings. Barnabas recognized, I can't do this alone. And so he left for Tarsus to go find a man. Why? Because he saw something in someone else and recognized gift and ability and measure beyond his own. I love this man, Barnabas. And he, Barnabas, verse 25, left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Verse 27. Now at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus, there's a new name for your child to be. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And after they did this, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul the elders. This is bizarre. Now the Gentiles are taking up money for the Jews. This prophet said, there's going to be a huge famine. Isn't it amazing what you send, God will always send back to you? These Jews sent their best in a Barnabas, a simple man with a godly disposition. And now the Jews receive back finance from people who are changed. Gentiles now providing for the Jews, followers of Jesus. Barnabas. Here's a beautiful quote from a man named Jim Valvano. Anybody remember a guy named Jim Valvano? He was a coach for North Carolina State, basketball coach, national champions. Jim has gone on now to be with the Lord, but he was famous for this. He was famous for many things, but one of the things he said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. He believed in me. This guy Barnabas said, you know what? I can't do it. I'm just a man. I've been sent here by all the big boys back at Hotshot Jerusalem. And it was in a powerhouse in Jerusalem. I don't mean to demean it in any way. Jerusalem was a powerhouse, hotbed for the church. And they sent one man, a Barnabas, who simply believed in other people. He says, I need Saul in order to do what God wants to do here. And I look at myself, would they send me? If this church had to send one person 300 miles away, Lord help us, not Chicago again. A positive person, a good person, a man full of faith, a person full of faith. Would it be me? Is that how people would observe me and remember me? Barnabas was just one of the church in Jerusalem. He was not a hotshot apostle. He wasn't one of Jesus' disciples. He was simply sitting where you're sitting. And the believer said, that's the guy we need to send. Why? Because he simply believes in other people. Great, but how? GBH, what was it? Great bodily harm? Yeah, the British say GBH is great bodily harm. We're not going with that. GBH, great, but how? What does this have to do with me? What is this? How does this touch me? What I love about the Bible is it's full of average Joes. And the church is full of average Joes. Look in the Old Testament, average Joes. And Abraham, just from a place, Ur the Chaldeans. Where in the world is that? It's Peoria. I don't know. It's out there somewhere. And God sees a person, says, I'll put my hand on them. God sees a Ruth. He sees a Naomi. He sees a Deborah. He sees an Abraham. He sees a Noah. He sees a Joseph. David, not even recognized amongst his own family as anybody. But God sees them. He says, I'll put my hand on you. It's the beauty of a Barnabas. He's a nobody to anybody else, but he's somebody to God. Lord, help me. Who in this body can I come alongside? Who in this body can I believe in? Lord, Andy prayed earlier, the Lord, open my eyes. Was it for wisdom, discernment? Lord, open my eyes to see the grace of God and who is in this community right here that I can believe in and come alongside. And here's the thing. It's so, and you probably have seen this. Sometimes it's like stripes on his shoulder. Oh, I'm discipling Floyd and Billy and Bobby and not Susan, because that'd be weird. And Ed. Sorry, Ed. What if you didn't bother with, I'm discipling anybody, and you're just coming alongside some people to love them and encourage them and put the word of God into them and share the insights that the Holy Spirit has shown you from the Bible? Not like you're some great theologian, but I just want to, I can't tell you how many times Donnie Flynn's come up and just shared with me something that God's given him, an insight from the word of God. What if we became those people? A Brent Griffith every Saturday morning encouraging men to be all that they can be. To step outside of pain and trouble and difficulty. Last two scriptures and I'll close with these. Proverbs 20 verse 5. NIV, sorry. Proverbs 20 verse 5. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters. But one who has insight draws them out. That's a Barnabas. He could see inside of a Saul, soon to be Paul. He could see the deposit of heaven, the deep reservoir, the word of God. This man, Paul, had studied the Bible since infancy. Just he grew up with the word just exploding out of him, misguided in ugliness. But Barnabas could see the grace of God inside. Nobody else would believe that Saul was actually a believer. But Barnabas said, I can see the grace of God in his life. I'll come alongside. I'll make a way for him. And this man Barnabas, of all people, made an avenue for Paul, for Saul to become a Paul. I wonder who in this body you could come alongside. Somebody like a Jeannie Medeiros. Probably the greatest treasure trove in this body. If you don't know Jeannie Medeiros, you should. Like Jesus is a woman, but no, that's weird. Just people, gifts of heaven right here in our body. Proverbs 20, verse 15. Gold there is and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you, Lord, that with this group of people, you were able to get past, go take their experience past their understanding that it's just a Jewish church. And your desire is that we would break out, that they would break out and did. Lord, that we would break out into the school across the street, into our neighborhood, into our workplace, Lord. That I wouldn't just seek to just have a Bible study, but Lord, that I would come alongside people at work. I would come alongside my neighbor. That I could be a person of genuine faith. Open my eyes, Lord. If I'm a negative person, I tend to be that critical sort who just wants to fix everything. Jesus, open my heart to see I need to be a giver of life. and to see the beauty that has been already placed inside someone and to call that out, not just their obvious problems. Lord, just give us eyes. We can be Barnabases to put courage inside of people who desperately need it. Lord, I pray that this church would break out into the community around us, sharing the love of Jesus, sharing the Word of God, eternal truths. Holy Spirit, fall on us. Fall on us to give us boldness and courage. Thank you, Jesus, for people like Barnabas. A nobody to some people, but everybody to you. A man of faith. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, that I would embrace it, that I would put it into action in my own life. Bless us as we go forward. And everyone said, amen. 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 If you would like somebody to pray with you, could we please do that? You may have a financial need, relational issue, a challenge in your own body. We'd love to pray with you and believe for healing. Amen and amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.